Good. Amen. I was reading a book recently, This Odd and Wondrous Calling, written by two ministers, Martin Copenhaver and Lillian Daniel. And they shared stories of ministry, stories of personal life, stories of just all things church. And there was one particular chapter entitled Money on the Shelf, talking about tithing or giving. And so I was interested in reading that as a pastor, as a church family. You always know this can be sometimes an interesting topic to talk about. And I wanted to see this minister's perspective on giving. She started out this chapter with the sentence, "I'll never forget the day when I decided that I'm never going to be a tither." I thought, wow, that's a, didn't see that coming. Was maybe thinking to go in a different direction, but as I read on, I realized that this was someone who was just starting out in ministry, and she was being honest. She came to that church with a ton of student debt, car payments, full-time childcare bills, and even though she was at a good church, just starting out, that church could only afford to pay her on the lower end of the scale. So she didn't have a tithe. She didn't have 10%. She probably didn't even have 1%. She raises the question, why should I tithe? Why should I give? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Why tithe? Why give? Why participate when passed the plate? Well, if y'all have your little blue ribbons, you know that this is our blue ribbon month. It is a month of recognition and awards. And so if you haven't been here and heard the little spiel on it, the blue ribbon represents awards that we win, participating in events, but it also signifies us trying our best, us working as hard as we can. And so we talked about last Sunday, blue ribbon giving, and we're going to talk about it this Sunday. Now, I'll go ahead and say last Sunday we were very few in numbers. I know a lot of folks have memorials that they are going to, the weather, and they're just sick and out traveling. But my theory was that you saw this ribbon and you saw blue ribbon giving, and so you decided to skip that Sunday. But what you didn't know, this is round two. And so what you may have missed, I'm just going to share with you briefly here through this illustration. We actually had a child that participated, and I don't know if there'd be a child who'd be willing to come up. You do not have to sit in this chair for the entire sermon. We got a volunteer who wants to come up here and sit, a child. All right, come on up. All right, so we used the passage in Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. You just, all you got to do is sit here and smile and look pretty. All right, easiest job here for you. We used the passage Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, not storing up treasures on earth, but storing up treasures in heaven. And so I asked the congregation, if we had to choose in this illustration, what would our treasure be? Would it be the child or the chair? Who said chair? It's the child. You are our treasure here. And so we talked about that as a church family just a few Sundays ago. We dedicated babies. We promised to raise them and to teach them and guide them in our faith. And so that is our treasure. And then we asked the question, well, how do we do that? We do it through the chair, because the chair represents all the things that we tend to not focus on our church budget. It represents the sanctuary that we're in, the little chairs that you're sitting in, the light bills, being able to hopefully afford to pay the salary for a youth and children's minister that we've budgeted for, that we're going to be looking to hire soon. All these things. But the challenge is when we look at our church budget, we sometimes just see only things in the chair. But it would be better if we would see the child. Instead of just looking at words and numbers that represent our budget, it should be pictures and stories of what that money goes to and how lives are changed. And so we challenged ourselves with recognizing what is our treasure, and then how are we going to give that treasure? Thank you, Gracie. Y'all give her a hand. I promised John Logan last week some ice cream, so I'll add to you. We'll go get ice cream one day soon, but this summer. So today we're going to look at, in our blue ribbon giving, about giving those treasures back to God. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open and follow along with me. We're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, but just a few verses before chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Jesus is teaching those in the audience, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The context here, those in the audience, the culture that they were a part of was a culture of honor and shame. Now, we don't typically have that so much as a part of our culture, a culture of honor and shame. And the evidence of that is if you go to Walmart, you'd see less folks dressed like they are going to Walmart. But in the books we read, in the movies we see, we understand this concept. If someone does bad, then they have brought dishonor and shame upon themselves and their family. If they do good, they bring honor to themselves and their family. So those in the audience, in this culture of honor and shame, they were always trying to raise their honor value. They were doing these good deeds in front of others so that they would have a higher honor within the community. If you read on a little bit, Jesus talks about those that are fasting, that are praying, and that are giving. They're doing it for show. They're doing it for the benefit of others instead of the benefit for God. So Jesus is teaching those, when you give, we're to give not for others, but we're to give for God. And he's not saying, don't stop giving in public. Don't stop doing good deeds in public. In fact, we were building a handicap ramp. When I say we, I just showed up for a little bit, and someone made the comment to me, you just showed up until you got your picture made, and then you left. And I said, that's exactly right. I wanted to get the credit. So the next handicap we build, we're going to have to go and build it at night, just one at a time, so nobody will see what we're doing, so we will be doing it for God and not the praise of others. He's telling us to keep doing the good deeds, but he's making the point, don't do it for show. Don't do it for others. We do it for God. So as we look about wondering why we give, why are we giving our treasures back to God, what are some of the reasons that we give? For some of us, we give out of habit. Grandma and Grandpa gave. In fact, if y'all remember our Lord's Acre, where folks set up just an acre of land. So whenever that harvest comes in, that is given back to the church. Mom and Dad gave every Sunday, carried their Bible, had their envelope in there, checked it off if they went to Sunday school and that they were able to tithe. They gave back a 10%. And because of their examples, we give a 10% every Sunday. We come with our envelope in hand and we put it in the offering plate. Now, this is a habit that can be a good habit. You've heard me share before the importance of having a quiet time, a personal devotion time. If you don't have one, if you would just commit to doing it every morning, for a month or every evening, by the end of a month, after 30 days, it will become a habit. So habits can be good things, and that we're giving is a good habit, but it shouldn't be the only reason that we're giving. Some of us may give out of guilt. You know, when the plate is passed, people are looking to the left and right to see if you put anything in there. I've even been at church service before. This happened, I think, when we were in Haiti, been in Guatemala, other services where they give, but they have to get up out of the pew, and you'll have to walk down front and place your offering on the altar. Now, I think there's some benefit to that way of giving because it's a way of responding to God as a part of our worship as we come and we physically are walking down front to give. But I remember when our family was in Alabama at a church, and they had an offering where you had to come and down to the altar and to give. And so when the offering We went down and we gave our offering and went and sat back down. Next thing I know, they had another offering. And I thought, well, how many offerings are they going to have? We ended up leaving that service, and there was probably three or four offerings, and I felt pretty bad because we already gave everything we had down. I thought about going and just leaving an empty envelope, but that probably wouldn't have worked. Sometimes we give out of guilt. Now, there's two school of thoughts among our preacher circles. One is that preachers should know what everybody gives. And the reason behind that is they want to know who's investing in the church. I'm not a part of that circle. I don't want to know what people give or how much people give. I've never known, and I never will. That's between, I think, us and God. But there was one pastor in particular who, he was playing the guilt card. I think, in fact, he ended up playing the whole deck. He had decided to expand their church and move to a new building. And as you can imagine, the money just wasn't coming in. So he looked to see what everybody was giving. And he started with the staff, and he went around to them. And he started with everybody in the church, and he went to them individually, one-on-one, saying, I know how much you have given, and you need to give more. Now, he might have had good intentions behind that, but it turned a lot of people off because he was playing the guilt card on them. But that is sometimes why we give out of guilt. Because just like the minister, Lillian Daniel, she didn't have 10%. She probably didn't have 1%, so she just didn't give. But I remember something my father-in-law told me when he was first starting out. As you know, when we first get married and you're young, you don't have two sticks to rub together, and so they didn't have 10%. But he said, the pastor told us, just give what you can. If it's not 10%, give 5%. Give 1%. Whatever you've got, just give what you can. And that meant so much to them because they were able just to give just that little bit. I remember when I was translating on a mission trip in Dominican Republic, this lady needed a surgery. I think it was a hysterectomy, which probably nowadays costs $1 million, but in Dominican Republic, she's going to be able to get it for free. But the doctor wanted her to be able to pay something for it. So he asked her, can you pay for this surgery? And she says, there's no way I can pay for this surgery. Can you pay $5? Oh, yes, I can pay $5. So she didn't feel guilty because she was able to pay for that surgery. Just the little bit that she had, she was able to give towards it. And I think that's all God asks of it. So we're not really supposed to be giving out of habit or giving out of guilt. But God calls us to give out of our blessing. He calls us to give as an act of worship, not for others, but for Him. If you continue to read on, I'll share with you the rest of the story with the minister Daniel. A few years later, she found herself working in a small church. She was a pastor then, the only one on staff, and she still had that same issue with tithing, just not having enough to want to tithe or give. Now, she may have rationalize and justify that, you know, there's other ways to give and to tithe with her time and her talents, that she's given those in service to church and to God. She just didn't have those resources. And in fact, she had heard that there was some issues within the last two pastors of the church because they talked maybe too much about giving and tithing. So that first Sunday when they went to pass the offering plates weren't on the altar. They were actually behind a wall, behind the organ, up on a shelf, hidden out of sight. So they go and they pass the plates almost apologetically. I'm sorry, but we got to do this. Let's just go ahead and get it over as quick as possible. And then when they were done with the offering, they brought the plates down and they did not place them at the altar. They put them back behind that wall on the shelf. It's out of sight, out of mind. The church had an issue with giving and with tithing, and she had one as well. And she realized that not only for them, but more for her, that they needed to be honest with each other and to talk about this. That it's something that they shouldn't feel guilty about doing or giving out of habit. She shared with them her struggles with finances and the challenges that she faced. But through their honest conversation, they realized that giving and tithing is not supposed to be a burden. It's not supposed to be something that we feel guilty about or we just do out of habit. But as Christians, as believers, it's our privilege. It's an honor to be able to participate in the work that God is doing by giving to mission projects, by giving to our church budget to support all the ministries of our church. Y'all have heard me tell you this before, that God doesn't need our money. If it's part of His will, it will happen. He doesn't need our money to make it happen. So He didn't want us to give for show or for others or for the benefit of feeling better about ourselves or not feeling so guilty, or whether it's out of habit or whatever it may be. He wants us to give out of the love, out of the abundance of our blessings. He wants us to give as an act of worship and appreciation. And so, from last week, what is our treasure? And to this week, we're challenged to give that treasure back to God. Will you join me in prayer? God, as we come before You now, we recognize that You have blessed us in so many ways. And we know, God, that there are seasons of life when we feel like we have more abundance of those blessings than others. But I pray, God, now that You will lay on each person's heart today the desire and the challenge to give as You so lead them to give, to support the ministries of the church with the goal of glorifying You, with helping our youth and our children and our adults and our seniors. And everything that we support and do here, Lord, we do it to honor You. God, we thank You for the privilege that we have in partnering with You in these ministries and the blessings that we have that we're able to give back a portion to You. But most importantly, we thank You for the love that You have for us demonstrated through Your Son, Jesus. And we just thank You for all these things in His name. Amen.